Amen. Thank you, Tyler. Let's give it up for Tyler, man. Hitting all the right things there, man. So excited to be here with you this morning on Connection Group Sunday. If we could, could we pull that back just a little? Yeah, right about there. Could we get that Connection Group slide up again? I just noticed something. There's a little QR code there in the bottom left-hand corner. Why don't you pull out your phone and scan that? Because that will actually take you to our website. And you can see all of the connection groups that are listed because we're one church that meets in four locations. So we have about 11 that are happening here. And you'll see all the posters. And at the end of the worship experience, there's going to be some amazing people inviting you to sign up for their group. So get ready for that. But maybe time or different things like that, maybe location makes it easier for you to get to one of the connection groups at one of our other campuses. You're free to do that. So you can just scan that, click on that link, and you'll see all the different groups. So you can get ready for who's going to be waiting for you in the hallway and get signed up today because connection groups are important. And before we dive into the message this morning, I just want to bring a word of confirmation, if you will. Just a minute ago, Lindsay came up and she shared a prophetic word. Right now, you may not have grown up in church, so that might not have any context or connotation for you. Maybe you grew up in a church tradition where you were told that doesn't happen anymore. Or maybe you, in your time in church, you saw prophecy maybe misused, or you've been hurt, or different things like that. And so I understand all of that, but I like to bring affirmation and confirmation to things. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it actually says that let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, where they had everybody prophesying it all at once, and nobody knew what anybody was saying. Nobody knew what God was saying through the prophets. And it says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy. I love that. You should just underline that in your Bible. You can all prophesy. Selah. One by one, see, look at this, so that all may learn and be encouraged. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 29 through 31, if you're wondering where I'm coming from with that. But I want to say that to not just affirm what was heard, but this morning in my prayer time, so funny, the Lord spoke to me, if he speaks to me, sometimes it's just for me, sometimes it's for the group. You kind of got to sense the timing and things. But he said this. He said, I can't break what you won't let go. I can't break what you hold on to. And the word you heard from Lindsay today was not just about surrender, but she mentioned something, and I don't know if you caught it, but she mentioned the glory of God. And then she said something that may not kind of connect there, but wait. In the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, the word glory, kavod, means weightiness. It's often translated as honor or glory, but it means weightiness. And there are times in our lives when God's glory wants to rest on us. Actually, not times, all the time, God's glory wants to rest on you. And this is what I believe, connecting what she said and what the Lord spoke to me hours before I even saw Lindsay today, about this idea of surrender. It's not just about surrender, but God wants to break things with his weight. But if you're holding on to them because he loves you, he won't send the weight to break it because it would crush you. And so I believe that God is speaking to people in here today to let some things go so that God can crush them, but also to let you know that God doesn't want to crush you. And so the time has come to let it go. Release it today if you haven't already. Release it so that God's weight can rest on you. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you for that. That was just a little bit of a side note. I want to thank Lindsay for being faithful and courageous. It's not easy to come up and say, hey, God said something through me. That is not an easy thing to do, but we should get used to that. But nevertheless, I'm excited today, as Tyler said, because today is Connection Group kickoff. And one of the big things about our church is Connection Group. We are not a church with small groups. We are a church We're not a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups. We're made up of small groups of people that come together where we read the Bible, pray, and help each other take our next steps with Jesus. But even more than that, the real excitement that I'm sensing is that we're just 1 week away, 1 week away from the 40th anniversary of Bridge City Church. Come on. I mean, I am excited about this. So over the next several weeks, you're going to be hearing messages where we are celebrating God's faithfulness and where we're pulling principles out of the scripture that will help us as a church and as individuals be able to enjoy God's faithfulness and success for the next 40 years of our lives. Because it takes something special to make it 40 years. It just does. Longevity and success don't happen overnight or by accident. See, a lot of us, we just want things to just happen. We just want God to just do it. One of these days, I believe we're going to get to heaven and see all of the things that God wanted to do, but because we weren't faithful in what he wanted us to do, he couldn't do them in our lives. And I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that day where I see all the blessings, all the breakthrough, all the prayers that I prayed that didn't get answered because I wouldn't walk in the faithfulness and in the purity and in the obedience that God required of me. And so we're going to be talking about what it looks like to have this success in our lives. So if this is your first time here, welcome. Please take time to fill out that connection card and get it back to our connection point. Riley will connect with you there. Or maybe this is maybe just your second or third time here and you're trying to figure it out. You're going to be hearing a lot about Bridge City Church and how God has moved through us. But I don't want you to check out. I want you to lean in because you're going to get over these next several weeks what God has used in this group of people, this faithful group of people that was just a handful of people 40 years ago meeting in the Holiday Inn over off of the Parkway East near Wilkinsburg. And now has multiplied it into a church of 4 locations and over 700 people. There's something secret in the sauce. And as a new person, right, as someone that's kind of new, I've been campus pastor here for a little over 2 years. I was in church planting ministry for about a decade before that. And I've been a member here for almost 3 years. Actually, 3 years now I've been a member of Bridge City Church, because the Lord called us out of our church that my wife and I, Christine, that we had planted and were pastoring, and called us to take a break, and then COVID happened, and we're faithfully attending at Murraysville, sitting under Pastor Rick, because even though I've only been a part of Bridge City for a couple of years, Pastor Rick has been in my life as kind of a spiritual father, which we're going to talk about here today, for over 9 years. And so when God called us to transition out of ministering ourselves, I knew where we were going to go and get ministered to. And so I'm kind of the new guy here. But for all of those years of being connected on the periphery through Pastor Rick with what God was doing with, at that time, Word and Worship Church and now Bridge City Church, we had a little name change there. My wife and I always longed to have the secret sauce, if you will, that made this place such a life-giving, healthy, God-honoring, kingdom-expanding, people-growing place. And so today, I don't want you to check out. I want you to lean in if this is new to you today. I don't want you to hear a Bridge City Church promo. I want you to hear what God has done through faithful men and women over the course of 40 years, which biblically speaking is a generation. 40 years is a generation. I want you to catch what God is doing. And so before we get into the word here, I just want to let you know of a couple of things. First and foremost, next Sunday, 2 worship experiences. All of our campuses are going to be here. All 4 campuses meeting here, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If you've got kids, you want to get online and get your kids registered for childcare, because we got lots of kids in our church. Just because you don't see them here, they out there. And the day before, on this coming Saturday, the 17th, we're having a church day at Kennywood, and we're still selling Kennywood tickets at our connection point for $15. $15. You can barely eat at Kennywood for $15. And so if you haven't gotten your Kennywood tickets yet, please go back to the connection point. Because we're having some issues with our kiosk, we'll figure out a way to get you paid if you're doing a card or something like that. But definitely get your tickets for this Saturday because it's going to be amazing. And the last thing you'll notice on your seat, and this is very important to me, very special to me, you'll see these little cards. Has the number 40 at the bottom. These cards are what we would like you to do is take these cards, and you can do it now if you have a pen. You can do it right after the worship experience. But make sure you get them in, and you can drop them into the offering baskets with your offering on your way out and drop them in there. But on these cards, we would like you to answer any one of those three questions that are on the board. You can answer all three if you want. You only got so much space. And we'd like it to be legible, Imogen. Not because we want to read it, but here's what we're going to do with these. Next Sunday, this is going to be a part of an art presentation, a collage of all of these cards, how God has moved in people's lives and made an imprint and a mark in people's lives through this ministry that was faithfully started 40 years ago. And there are people in this room right now who are part of that original group. So if you would be so kind as to fill this out and drop it in the offering basket, or if you forget the offering basket, get it to Connection Point, but get it into somebody's hands. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. For those of you that have been here for a while, you're like, that's a no-brainer. And we're going to be talking about how every Bridge City Church member can reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. How every Bridge City Church member can reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, what I don't want, if you're not a Bridge City Church member, I want you to hear this. We would love to see you transition out of regular attender into member. And if you just kind of come here and there, or this is your first time here, we would love to see you at least transition into regular attender, right? We'd ultimately like to see you transition into a relationship with God and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus, because here at Bridge City Church, we exist to see as many people as possible begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so don't let that member language trip you up. But the reason we use it is specific is because we believe that there is a power in covenantal connection. How many of you know that marriage is better than friends with benefits? How many of you know that blood runs thicker than water? See, there's a covenantal connection, and in the church context, that's through membership that helps us to reach our full potential. And it's not that we don't want to see everybody reach their full potential, but we believe that through membership and through things like connection groups and serving on a team, people reach their full potential. So there's three keys that we're going to look at here over the next few minutes of how every Bridge City Church member can reach their full potential in Christ. The first one is this: fathers to follow. That's some language that if you've been around here long enough, you've heard. Fathers to follow, mothers to follow, right? Brothers and sisters to share secrets with. We need those relationships in our life. So we're gonna look at fathers to follow, a foundation to build on, and faithfulness in relationships. And we're going to be looking at that straight out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm just going to start reading at verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who is at this time, the Apostle Paul's in jail. And Timothy is pastoring the church at Ephesus, which at this time and for many years, Ephesus was the preeminent and most prominent of all of the churches in the ancient world. They had it going on. And Timothy is the pastor. So think of your favorite celebrity pastor, mega church pastor, multiply that by 100 and you get Timothy. But we also see that Timothy doesn't exist without a Paul. And so this is an important thing. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." That word son there is the Greek word technon. There's multiple Greek words. The New Testament is written in Koine Greek. And this Greek word technon describes a son as a child. It's not just gender specific, but it's a child that has not yet reached maturity or achieved any kind of legal or social standing. In the ancient world, you had to achieve a certain level of maturity before you could actually do anything. That's something I wish would kind of, you know, social media has kind of destroyed that. Now everybody has a voice. Some of us, most of us should probably just be quiet, myself included. But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, my dear son. Now I want you to understand this. Timothy is a grown man at the time Paul is writing this to him. And just like a lot of us in our lives, when there are people in our lives that are a little bit further down the road, or they've made the investment into our lives to see us as a son or a daughter in the faith, I've seen a lot of people who reject that because they like to say, I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman, I can do it myself. You know who talks like that? Little kids. Am I right? Little kids are the only ones talking about whether they're a big boy or a big girl or not. Because when you've attained a level of maturity, you don't have to tell people about it. They already know. But you don't attain maturity without parental tutelage in your life. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, who is the megachurch pastor of megachurch pastors in the earth, and he's calling him son. He's calling him a spiritual dependent. See, and the thing that I love so much about this is that Timothy, even with the prestige and the success that he's had in his life as the pastor of Ephesus, Timothy doesn't reject that moniker. Timothy embraces it. He longs for it. He wants it in his life because he understands the power of having spiritual fatherhood in his life. He knows what it's like to have a father to follow. Timothy also remembers that he wasn't always the pastor of Ephesus, and he actually wasn't always a powerful preacher or a great leader. For those of you that aren't familiar with Timothy, you can find his story and how him and Paul met in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Here we see Paul, he's going out on his second missionary journey, and he comes to this house, he comes to Timothy's house. And see, here's Timothy. He's the son of a Greek man and a Jewish mom who has given her life to Jesus. Now, for all intents and purposes, the scripture is quiet on who Timothy's biological dad is. And I believe the reason for that is because Timothy, like a lot of us, myself included, had an absentee father. He had a dad that was not around. He had a dad that did not show him how to be a man or how to be a devout follower of Jesus Christ. But Timothy did have a mama and a grandmama. Do I got any people out here that had a mama and a grandmama? Come on. See, I know there's more than that. We in North Braddock. We're in a region where 78% of the households have no male father figure in it. We wonder why the world looks the way that it does. We wonder why the importance of having a father to follow is so important. But you might even be sitting here right now and be like, I had a dad and I couldn't wait to get away from him. But nevertheless, I want you to understand something here with Timothy. If Timothy had father issues and overcame it to embrace the identity as a son, you can too. But not only that, because Timothy's dad was Greek and his mother was Jewish, Timothy hadn't gone through the process of circumcision yet. Now, circumcision was a Jewish rite, and I'm not going to take the time to explain it. It's a wee bit graphic. I'd encourage you to Google it, but you can't unsee those pictures. But you can ask a friend, a close friend. Don't just ask some stranger, hey, what's circumcision mean? What? And so before Timothy could go with Paul and enter his apprenticeship stage, his sonship stage, following the greatest apostle that you could honestly say ever lived. Before he could do that, Paul said, Timothy, I need you to get circumcised. And it's funny because just in the chapter before that, Paul made this whole big deal about how you don't have to be circumcised to follow Jesus. So there are things in your life that you don't have to do to follow Jesus, but you should do to step into your calling. Some of you need to tweet that. But here's what I want you to get.
This is what following a father, or if you're a lady, a mother, looks like. Timothy put the most delicate and intimate part of himself literally into the hands of a man he just met to painfully remove things that needed to be removed in order for him to step into his calling. What Timothy did in the natural, he even did so in the spiritual. And while God may not be calling you to go through that physical process, and I hope that he's not, because I'm not going to do that for you. But Timothy was willing to put the most intimate and delicate part of himself into the hands of another person to painfully cut away things that were unnecessary for him to step into his calling. That's what having a father to follow looks like. Because as I said, not only was I a church planter for many years, I actually helped to start a church planning network. And from the years of 2010 to 2017, we planted 98 churches in 23 different states, 3 in Canada, 1 in St. Croix. I oversaw a staff of 27 people in our headquarters in Wexford as the chief operations officer of this network while also pastoring church. And I oversaw over 162 staff members that were parts of churches all across the country. And when I say that I had successful spiritual men in my life, I've been in rooms with people that you probably podcast. I've flown on jets with people that you watch on TV. But here's the thing. I connected with Pastor Rick not because I needed a man in my life, but because I needed a father. And what I want you to process between now and 15 minutes from now, when you go and sign up for your connection group, you don't need more people in your life, but you need a spiritual dad or a spiritual mom. You need spiritual brothers or spiritual sisters to do life with, and that's why you're signing up for the group. I'm here today because I have a father in my life. And having grown up without one biologically in my life, that's a big deal. But because I was willing to submit and surrender myself to him, I get to enjoy the spiritual blessings of being in this amazing group of people that I'm speaking to right now. But we all need spiritual fathers and mothers to follow. Because you know what they call people that don't have a dad or a mom? Bastards. Illegitimate. And God doesn't have illegitimate. So, as Psalm 68:6 says, he places or he sets the lonely or the solitary in family. And healthy families have a father leading the way and a mother covenanting with that father to lead as well. And you are in a place right now that has existed and grown for 40 years because the secret sauce is fathers and mothers. The second key to having success, to reaching our full potential in Jesus Christ, is having a foundation to build upon. A foundation to build upon. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses." The Greek word for witness is martyr, which in our English context, a martyr means someone who testifies of what they believe to the point of giving up their own life. So Paul himself is even saying, I have connected myself to a group of people who believe what they believe and testify to it in such a way that they give their life to ensure that that message outlives them. And that's what Bridge City Church is. It's a collection of reliable and faithful witnesses, people who have given their lives to ensure the message of Jesus Christ continues transforming hearts and lives and families and communities until Jesus comes back. He goes on and Paul says, now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. So I want you to catch something here because this is the foundational verse of our church, 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, the things that you have seen and heard, right? That you have seen and heard, because I can show you better than I can tell you. And how many of us have had parents or seen parents that talk a good game but then do the opposite thing? Paul says, what you have seen me do, what you have heard me say in the presence of people that have also given their lives to ensure this message goes on. Timothy, what I want you to do is to take that message, pass it on to faithful people who will in turn be able to pass it on to the next generation. Paul sees a fourfold generational completion of the gospel. And he wants Timothy to carry that out. But see, right before this, in 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 through 14, he says this to Timothy. He says, hold to the pattern of wholesome teaching that you learned from me. So this thing that he's saying, what you've seen me do and what you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, this is the pattern. This is the foundation that you are to build upon. See, and there's a problem with foundations in our culture. Because foundations are often overlooked, especially today, because the new generation thinks they've got it all figured out. I've been on the earth for 25 years. What do you old people know? But people often overlook the importance of foundations because in the natural, think of it. You all live in some kind of a building, I hope. If not, we'll talk after. But foundations are often overlooked because they're unseen and it requires you to dig deep and get dirty. We live in a generation where everybody wants to be seen, wants to be as shallow as possible, and doesn't want to get dirty. And so we have a foundationless generation, but not here at Bridge City Church. See, you will never invite someone to your house and say, oh man, check out my foundation. How many of you have ever bought a new house or built a house and you have your friends come over and you say, oh man, you got to see that cinder block that we put down there in the cellar. Oh my gosh, that mortar work. Gee, buddy. Right? No one ever invites people over to see their foundation, but the things that you do invite people over to see in your house require a solid foundation for them to be there. And it's the same in your life. The things that you want people to see in your life require a solid foundation so that they can be plumb and straight and look good for the long haul. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, upon a sure foundation. So that when the wind and the waves and the storm come, not if, when it comes and beats against the house will stand. But then he says, but he who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice, notice it's not just the word of God that produces the transformation, it's our response to the word of God. Because there are some people I know over 10 years of ministry that have heard me preach the word of God and don't do anything with it, and you know who's there to pick up their house? Pastor John. The mothers and fathers of the church are there to pick it up. Say, oh, baby, that was stupid, but we're going to fix this. He says the foolish person hears and doesn't put it into practice, and that person is like someone who builds their house on sand, a bad foundation. So that when the wind and the waves come, their house falls with a great crash. What am I saying? You have to have foundations to build upon so that when the storm hits you, you can stand. And you've got to be in a family of fathers and mothers, so even if you built poorly, you got people to come and help you clean up the wreckage. That's why you need a connection. Because there's nobody in this room. Every human being on planet Earth is in one of three positions in their life. You're either in a storm, on your way out of a storm or on your way into a storm. But the storms are there. And it's too late to learn to swim after you've fallen overboard. And a lot of times, we don't ask for help until the house has already crashed. How about we invite people in and trust ourselves to faithful men and women to say, help me build a strong foundation so that I can then turn and help other people do the same. The third key to reaching our full potential in Jesus is this. Faithfulness in relationships. Faithfulness in relationships. We're going to go a little bit before 2 Timothy 2. We're going to read the last couple of verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 15, and it says this. He says, as you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. Remember, Paul's in prison. Paul has literally given his entire life to preaching the gospel to ensure people have an opportunity to begin a relationship with God, and he's invested himself in a way so that he can help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And just like anybody that's ever given their life to do that, you will always have people who will desert you, and then you will always have people who, in verse 16, but Paul says, may the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus. Yes, I hope that's right. And all of his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. And so as Christy comes, we kind of get ready to go sign up for our groups, to go find a mother or a father to follow, to go find a group of people to help us build. You know, this just hit me. How many of you are familiar with the Amish? If you're from Pennsylvania, you should be pretty familiar with the Amish, right? All the Amish get together to help each other build all their stuff, their houses, their barns, right? It's amazing to see. What if we did that spiritually? What if we took the full opportunity given to us in connection groups to get together with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and helped each other build our barns so that God could fill them up? But it requires fathers to follow, requires a solid foundation, requires faithfulness in relationships. And the thing I want us to get here is that Paul draws the line. He clearly delineates. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's faithful people and unfaithful people. Now, we'd love to convince ourselves that we may not be the most faithful person, but we're not entirely unfaithful. Those of you who are in romantic relationships, married or otherwise, how much unfaithfulness is okay? There's only two kinds. You're either faithful or you're not. And Paul shows us, he gives us a glimpse as to, because no matter what you say about yourself, your actions will betray who you really are. And he says, unfaithful people, they desert. Faithful ones visit and encourage. Which one are you? Now, you might sit here and say, well, I'm not a deserter. I'm here every so often. I come to a couple of the groups. And I'm not trying to bash anybody because we all got busy schedules. We all got all these other things. But you know what? I will say this. I'm going to make a bold statement. There is nothing else that you could possibly do that's going to help you establish your foundation that's outside of the church. I will say that, and I will die on that hill. And I'll come help you pick up the wreckage of your life, of your house, when you think otherwise. But you're either faithful or you're unfaithful. You're either a visitor and an encourager, someone who's not ashamed of the bondages. You're not ashamed of the chains of other people because you're willing to love them in. You're either that kind of person or you're the kind of person that deserts. And you know, that word for desert, it's the Greek word apostropheo. Is where we get our English word apostrophe, right? That teeny tiny little mark that we stick
into words to take the place of a letter that's missing. Sure, the apostrophe, the word's still there, but now there's a gap, isn't it? When you desert, you're unfaithful. When you omit yourself from what God is doing, you create a gap. This morning, as we get ready to sign up for connection groups, don't be a deserter. Be a friend. Be a faithful man or woman. And connect yourself to a faithful father or mother, faithful brothers and sisters, people who will visit, people who will encourage, and people who will not be ashamed of your chains. Because I've never seen anybody other than magicians get out of chains by themselves. We need people in our lives to help us to do that. So what are we going to do? In a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to sign up for one of our amazing connection groups. And I'm believing that this is going to be the best connection group turnout ever. I'm believing it. Because I believe that you heard something, not from me, but from God, that says, yep, you know what? God wants to place me in a family. He wants to put me under a father or a mother. He wants to help me establish a foundation. He wants to get me into faithful relationships. That's what he wants to do. And so I'm going to trust the most intimate and delicate parts of me into the hands of somebody I may have even just met and allow them to even painfully remove things so that I can step into the calling that God has for me. That's what I'm going to do by signing up for one of these groups. But before we do that, I just want to let you know what's waiting for you in that hallway. First and foremost, we have one of the most faithful men, and there's so many, it's hard to say that, in this place. My God, thank you, Jesus. One of the most faithful fathers I've ever seen, Carl Steinmetz. He's a witness. He's a man he's a martyr. He's given his life to ensure that the message outlives him. And he's going to be waiting out in that hallway to sign you up for Financial Peace University. What's that? It is a godly and vastly effective way to help you get your finances in order, not just to get you out of debt, but to get you into godly prosperity. And there's only 13 slots in that group, so you want to get out there. And just like I said, it's too late to learn to swim when you fall off the boat. Don't wait until you're in financial ruin to get your finances in order. Get out there, get signed up with Carl. And if you don't know who Carl is, ask somebody and they will point you to him. You can ask me and I'll take you to him. Actually, if someone asks you who someone is, anybody in this room, don't say, oh, it's that person over there. Say, hey, I'd love to be a faithful friend and introduce you to him. How about we do that? Another faithful father, Phil Leone. He's going to be out there. He's got a connection group for men on Tuesday. We've got one of our newest connection group leaders who apprenticed with me, Thomas Hyatt. He's going to be leading a connection group for men on Wednesdays. We've got another faithful man of God, Evan Fisher, who's going to be leading a group for men on Thursdays. Well, what about the ladies, Pastor? Well, I'm excited because we've got another new connection group leader, Kristen Taylor. She's going to be leading a group. Tuesday nights at her home. Check that out. That's when you know it's real. When somebody will let you come and see behind the curtain, that's real. You want to be in that group. Yeah, man. We got Leslie Harris, who not only is leading a connection group, but is one of our connection group coaches. Yeah, man. Another one of them faithful mothers of the house, Cheryl, she's leading a group for ladies in the mid-morning. So you say, my evenings are tied up. Get to Cheryl's group at 10, correct? 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. Get there. Get into that group. And then we have another new connection group leader who just became a natural mom, and I know she's going to be a great spiritual mom. But Bethany is going to be leading a connection group too. We also have a group for seniors led by one of the most faithful women I've ever seen, Linda Larson. She's going to be out there leading a group. Annie Lunsford and myself, we're going to be leading a co-ed group on Wednesday night. So you can bring like your spouse, your significant other. If you're not with someone, you can still come. It's for guys and ladies. And then we have another co-ed group led by Avery and Tyler, who you just saw up here telling us all of the amazing things. He's one of the elders of the church. They're going to be leading a co-ed group on Hot Topics, and theirs is going to be at their house. So come on, somebody. We also have Bridge City students. They technically kicked off last week. Students is ages sixth grade through graduation. Some churches call it youth. We call it students. Because youth implies you're young and dumb. Students imply you're learning and growing. You can get signed up for that, or if you have someone in that age range, get them in there. We also have another great ministry called Celebrate Recovery. It meets right here Monday nights. Monday nights. You got a hurt, habit, or hang up you need some help with? You got some chains that you might be ashamed of? Well, I know a whole group of people who ain't ashamed of your chains, and they will help you unlock them things. They'll help you break them off. They'll help you smash them and pulverize them into the ground, and they'll give you the keys to help the next person come out of those chains too. Come on, somebody. So if you're a person that is a leader or an apprentice or a part of one of those groups, you're a leader or an apprentice or a helper in one of those groups, I want you to stand to your feet right now, because I want to pray with you and release you to go get ready to begin to compel people. Say, man, you need to be in this group, or, oh, man, you'd be great for this group. Let me introduce you. All my connection group leaders, Bridge City students leaders, Celebrate Recovery leaders, look at this, look at these people. Now you know who they are. You may not know their names, but you'll find out here in a few minutes. Because you'll say, who are you? What group are you a part of? So, Father, right now I just pray in Jesus' name for a special grace to be released on each and every one of these people who fill a diaconate and pastoral role function to lead, feed, guide, and protect the people that you are entrusting them to shepherd during this connection group season. I bless them right now as an under-shepherd of this house, underneath the eldership and leadership of Pastor Rick and the elders, which is underneath Jesus and a whole host of other people. But as an under-shepherd myself, I release grace to these under-shepherds to lead, feed, guide, and to protect, to be fathers and mothers to follow, brothers and sisters to share secrets with, to help people build sure foundations, and to be faithful in their relationships with others. Lord, I bless them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Leaders, you're free to go to your spot. I got one more minute for the rest of y'all. It would be unfitting for a connection group Sunday to not give people an opportunity to connect to Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Because Jesus is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But until you put your hope and trust in Him as the Lord and Savior of your life, or the language that we use here at Bridge City Church is the forgiver of your past, the leader to your future, till you trust in Him as God and Savior of the world by faith, Jesus lives everywhere except in your heart. But right now, if you're here and you know that Jesus, you've not given Him entrance into your heart, you've not received Him as forgiver and leader, and you want to make that connection right now, I just want you to just lift your hand. Just let us know. Say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior right now. If that's you, just put your hand up. Someone will come and just talk with you real quiet, real chill, not putting you on the spot or on blast. Would anybody like to respond?
receive Jesus Christ right now. Amen. Well, family, I want to thank you for your time. And I want to release you into the grace of God to go and connect with other like-minded people that will help you take your next steps with Jesus. God bless you. Drop off your memory card in the baskets. Visit the connection point for tickets or to drop off your welcome card. And get signed up for a group so that you can keep growing and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week at the 40th anniversary.